We are going to continue with our series on grace this morning, grace upon grace. I want to speak this morning on, I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction and talk about how grace has evidence or a result. Grace has evidence or a result. So if you're taking notes this morning, that will be your title, Grace Has Evidence or a Result. But let's turn this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 10. And then we're going to pray for a moment over the word. The word has power to change us. We're going to set our hearts aright to receive this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we're so thankful for grace, mercy and grace. Even as we've been diving into this series, Father, we thank you for the revelation that you've given to us so far. We pray for greater revelation, insight, and wisdom this morning into your word and into the things of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that every obstacle is removed in Jesus' name, and we receive by faith the grace to do what is necessary and what is required to see ourselves go to new levels, new heights, with greater influence in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for this word, that grace has evidence. It has evidence in our lives. So we pray, Lord, that there would be a result, Lord, out of our own lives, that people can see the evidence of grace upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, before we get started reading in 1 Corinthians 15, just to kind of summarize real quick, that grace is, we've talked about what grace is. It is really the fullness of the package of what God has given to us, starting with salvation. It begins with salvation. These other things cannot be tapped into without the beginning or the starting point, which is salvation. And upon salvation, we receive the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God is his presence, is the fullness of what is available through him in truth and in revelation. And so grace is everything that we can tap into in the kingdom of God by faith, through faith. So this morning, as we dig a little deeper into this and understanding that grace has evidence, which means if we're going to live a life applying the grace of God in our life, that means there's going to be a result from it, which is another reason that explains why grace itself is not just, it's not to cover sin and we just live in sin, which I might hit on that a little bit later, but it's not to live in sin and just say, well, the grace of God covers that. Grace empowers us to live above sin. It empowers us to live a life that is holy and to say no to ungodliness. And so grace is something that would cause an evidence in our life. If we're living a life of sin and then we come into salvation and we're living for God, then to come out of sin is a result. Would you agree with that? It's an evidence that something happened in our life. Something is now showing that's different. I don't know about you, but some of you, if you got saved and then all of a sudden your friends start looking at you going, what happened? You're not the same person you used to be. You're different, which may make them excited because they want it, or it may make them mad because they want you back as the old person. So depending on their heart status and what it is that they're wanting for their own life, you may get both responses from that. But the thing is, if it's working in your life, then there is a result. Grace begins upon salvation, and there is a result or evidence upon or in grace. So I want to start this morning by looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and of course, the book of Corinthians was written by Paul, and he's stating something interesting here in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read verse 10. Can you hold your finger there for a moment? And before we read that, turn back to Acts 11. Acts 11. I just want to show you this scripture before we go to the one in 1 Corinthians. Acts 11. Verse 21, and we're going to read to 23. Are we there? Okay. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Now, look at this in verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So we see here that Barnabas, he arrives here in Antioch, and it says, when he came, he had seen the grace of God. Just like you can see faith on a person, you can see the result of grace in a person, in a community, in a church, and what is going on in a person's life. So he saw the grace of God. That means there is evidence. There is a result to grace. It's not just this mystical thing, well, the grace of God, and we don't see it. So the grace of God has evidence. There is something that happens to a person that there is a result, an evidence. There is a mark on them, something transformative happens when the grace of God is operating in a person. And so I just wanted to show you that first so that you could see that Barnabas himself, he arrived and he saw the grace of God in a community. And what did it say before that? It was because many lives had been turned to Christ. And that was the grace that was working there. Now, that's not the only grace, the saving grace, but there are in fact, the Bible talks about multifaceted grace, or the manifold grace of God. That means there's many aspects to grace. So it's not just the saving grace of God, but there's grace to do many things. And so even there, Barnabas saw the grace of God. Many lives were transformed. Many hearts had turned to the Lord and believed. So they saw the grace of God moving in that community, and it was causing a revival. It was causing people to be changed. Well, obviously, it wasn't just people getting saved and then they go back to their old ways. It was people were getting saved and they're changing, and there's testimonies coming out of their lives, and they're saying, hey, I was this, but now I'm this. I used to be this, but now I'm this. It's the transformative power of God that saved me. It's the grace of God, and there's now an evidence in my life. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to get into this idea of grace is not something that we just set back and just expect God to move through our life and the result just happens. Like, I just do nothing and then there's just results. That's not the case. Even though last week I talked about the throne of grace, we come, right? We come to the throne of grace. If you were here last week, you remember the packages, you remember the presents up here, all of the gifts of grace, and we pick them up. We go to the throne of grace, to the throne room with confidence, and we pick up what is needed. We receive what is needed. We actively pursue. We actively go and get, and then we carry it out to where it's needed. We carry it out into our situation, into whatever area in our life is needed to apply that particular grace to. And so Paul was saying it's not just setting back. The rest is in the promise, but there is a work to be done. The receiving is the fact of knowing that God has already done the work. God has already done. It's his power working through you. But he does expect us to go. He does expect us to move. So if you look in verse 10 here of chapter 15, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. So the grace of God can be set aside. It can be done in vain. Like if you receive, just like last week, the packages are there for us to receive. But if I ignore them, then I have the gifts, but I've received them in vain. Because why? I'm not putting them to use. You see what I'm saying? Like if I give my kids packages for Christmas, gifts for Christmas, and it's things that they've been wanting, oh, I've been wanting this because it'll make my life easier. It'll make my life, you know, I'll be able to use this for that or take this and apply it to my work or whatever it might be. They receive the gifts, but if they go out and they don't use them, they receive them, it's theirs. They keep them in their house, but they don't use them. They've received them in vain. They've set aside the grace or the gift and have received it in vain. Sadly, we can do that if we don't watch it. We can receive the gift of God, the gifts of God, the graces of God, and set it aside and it be in vain. So we have to be very cautious. Grace is a conscious thing. There has to be an awareness of grace. If we don't have an awareness of grace, we'll never walk in it. It's only by hearing the word of God. We got saved by hearing the word of God, right? We got saved by hearing the message, by hearing of salvation, what he did on the cross. It's only by hearing that we can believe. Well, it's only by hearing about grace that we can believe and begin to walk in the grace of God. So we don't want the grace to be in vain in our lives. But it says here right after that, it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I labored more abundantly than they all. Do we not have scriptures this morning? Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know if that was just second service. But I labored more abundantly than they all. So did was there an effort put forth? Yes. Paul had to labor. He had to put forth effort himself. But he says, but not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God which was with me. But did he have to put forth effort? Did he have to labor? Yes. How many of you had children and when they were little, or if you've ever seen a child and or babysit a child and they're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And all they're doing is just sitting there, like they're not even trying. But it's too hard. I can't do it. And you're like, well, you got to get up and go over there and like work at it. Pick it up. I can't. It's too heavy. The child is whining, but they're not putting forth any effort whatsoever. Well, you can do it. You're just not applying any labor. You're not putting forth any effort. And sadly, if we don't watch it, we as Christians can do that. Yikes. There's a lot of analogies between physical children and spiritually how we can be. We can be like, Lord, it's too heavy. It's too hard. God, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. Lord, I can't. I don't have the resources. God, I don't have the ability. But in reality, he's like, my grace is what? Sufficient. Where does grace kick in? On the couch whining? No. So many times people are in the prayer closet and they're praying or they're whining. Sometimes those two can kind of overlap. Well, I've been praying about it. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying about it. I'm praying. But in reality, it's become whining. And we need to get up and we actually need to walk in the grace that God has given to us. It's in the obedience, faith, where grace kicks in. Grace kicks in at the obedience level. Not the thinking about it and sitting on the couch and praying about it. Grace kicks in at the faith, which is the doing. So we've talked about how there is, we can't do what Christ has done. It's all through Christ. Grace is through God, what God has provided for us. All the things of the kingdom of God, all the riches of heaven, and all the things that we have access to because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. So all of these things are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then these things are made available to us. So we have to walk in that grace. But the grace is what? By faith. So as we walk in it by faith, then the grace comes upon us as we do. The child that sits in and just complains about how it's too heavy, too hard, too big, too whatever, that he just can't do it, will never be able, they'll never see the evidence. They'll never see the result unless someone steps in and does it for them. But the thing is, that child will never see the result until they get up and they do, and they trust the fact that mom or dad said, yes, you do have the ability. You just have to go over there, now open it, now begin to pull it up, and then they begin to see, you know, and then they say, oh, I can do it because I tried and I put forth effort and it worked. I had the ability in me, but was I being lazy? Was I just waiting on God to do it? So evidence, there is an evidence for grace. Grace is not a license for laziness. Grace is not a license for laziness, and that's honestly what some of the world has made grace, and that's why it's gotten this idea that it just covers sin, and we don't even have to really work at our Christian walk. You know, we can just go out and sin, and grace just covers it, and that's the hyper grace message that it's, you know, we don't have to put forth any effort in our Christian walk, and it's become this license for laziness. But grace is not a license for laziness. In fact, that scripture right there, if nothing else, should convince you. Paul said, I have labored more than you all. I have labored, but not me, the grace of God with me. It's with me. So I believe that it's with me. Therefore, I do, and I operate in faith, and it's activated through me. And as a result, do we see the evidence or the result from Paul's life? Absolutely. I mean, more than any other apostle. He has the evidence of churches planted, pastors being raised up, 2/3 of the New Testament written by him through letters where he upheld or uplifted the churches that he planted and poured into, even those that he'd never even been to before, but they got planted because he poured into people. There was an evidence, there was a result that came from Paul's life because he what? I labored more than you all. Let's turn over to Acts 3. Turn over to Acts 3. Healing is part of the grace that's made available to us. So I want to use this passage of scripture for a moment so you can see where grace is activated here and when it is activated. Starting at verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. So you have a lame man, lame since birth, and now all of a sudden here comes Peter and John, and he says, rise up and walk. But look at this next verse. It says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When did his ankle bones receive strength? When they lifted him up. See, many times we get it backwards, and we think that he's saying, rise up and walk, and the man just, you know, in my own strength. But he took a step of action, a step of faith to lift him up in faith, believing that he was going to receive the grace of healing in his body. And it says his ankle bones and his feet received strength. It received strength. And it says the same thing about Sarah in the book of Hebrews 11, when it talks about she received strength to conceive. There is a receiving that has to happen, not a waiting for God just, you know, I'm here, so whenever you're ready to give it to me, you know, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to drop it down from heaven. And remember, like I talked last week, many people are waiting on the feeling. And they're waiting on this moment of feeling, then they'll be convinced. But God doesn't say wait on a feeling. He says receive it into your spirit. They received it in their spirit. So that is the belief. They didn't harden their heart. They received it in their spirit. And so that's what happened here. They received it, and this man, he received strength into his bones. I want to go through quickly just areas in our life where we can see the outward effect of grace in our life. When we see the outward effect or the outward results of grace operating in our life or in someone's life, this is one: production. There was productivity that happened here. There was a result that happened. There was a productivity that happened in them lifting him up. And what was produced? A healing into his legs, a healing into his body. So when we see that happen, and it's not just in healing, but it's production in our life. Anytime we take a step forward and advance in some way, there's a production or a productivity that's happening, a fruitfulness, so to speak, of moving forward, something in the kingdom of God. That we're not regressing, but we're moving forward. There's something good that's coming, because everything with God is good. So if there's a goodness that's being produced, if it's healing, if it's joy, if it's the production of increase in our lives, there's fruitfulness, we're better today than we were last year, there's an increase, a production in our lives. So number one is production or productivity. We see the result of productivity in our life. So I'm going to go through these effects of grace, that grace is working in our life. Number one, productivity. Number two is favor. Number two is favor. I'm going to read a passage out of Luke 2, verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now skip to verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now there's actually a reason that this is done in this order. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And remember, favor is another word for grace. Okay? He increased in favor. He increased in grace in his life. And it started with verse 40. It said the child grew and became strong in the spirit. He was increasing spiritually in spiritual things. His spirit man was becoming strong. He was filling it up, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Now, there is a key to wisdom, and I'm not going to be able to get into it today or this morning, but there is a key to wisdom and grace. They are linked. Wisdom and grace is linked. The reason we tap into more grace is through wisdom. You remember how I said if you don't hear it preached, then you'll never know you have it. Well, every revelation we receive in the Word of God, every promise we receive is a revelation that we can walk in that grace. So it says that he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He had to increase in wisdom first. The stature is actually a maturity. So you could word it like this. He increased in wisdom and maturity. Maturity is knowing how to apply the wisdom. So there's some people that they might have wisdom, but they don't always know how to apply it or when to apply it. So they have this knowledge or an understanding, but they don't always know how to apply it. There's not a maturity around it yet. And so Jesus had grown in wisdom and in stature, maturity with the wisdom. And favor was increased in his life. So the grace increased as he increased in wisdom and maturity. So this should keep us moving forward constantly in our walk with the Lord and in our walk with the Word, growing in the revelation of God. And so favor or benefits, things that bypass other people won't bypass you. Promotions that aren't available for other people, jobs that aren't available for other people can be made available for you. I remember one time when Christine and Jesse, before they had moved here, they were living in out in Kahului, and she wanted this particular job, but she said, they require such and such degree for it, and I don't have that. And I said, well, let's pray for favor. And so we prayed over the phone. I prayed that despite the fact that they were requiring in their advertisement that they required such and such degree, that there would be favor, that she would receive this job, that she would receive favor from the people, that there would just be this, for whatever reason, I don't understand, but we just want to give you this job. We want you to be the one, even though we know that you don't have the requirement stated, but we want you to fill this position. She went in for the interview. She called back later. She said, I got the job. Favor. That's why when I tell people sometimes, like, yeah, you might read. Now, obviously, this isn't going to work for everything. You got to understand, like, if you can't just go and decide you're going to be a surgeon without going through the schooling, okay? You can't set up shop in your own house and decide you're going to start doing operations. Like, that's not going to work. But you got to go to schooling for some things. But there can be a favor. That would look a little bit loony, wouldn't it? Ooh, did you hear about so-and-so? They opened shop in their home. They're doing surgeries now. How are things planning out? Like, are they living? You know, but understanding that there can be a favor on our life, like praying that despite the fact that you don't have, like, all of the things, you know, but God can show favor. God can put something on someone's heart where they desire, you know what? You might not have it, but we'll provide the training for you. We'll get these things in place for you. So whatever it is, don't just close yourself out of things. Know that you walk with the favor of God. Know that you have his heart, his desire is to promote you, is for you to be seen. Not because of you, but because of him. He wants him glorified. And if he can put a Christian person in a realm of influence and cause change in that, it's just like this, the story about Justin. You know, that there was, when Pastor Brad shared that on Wednesday, Justin's going to school at FSU now. And he goes into class and he shared that he loved God. And then the next class he walks in and prays with the whole class over his test. And it was totally received. And his professor had him pray again because she had two other kids that he didn't cover in prayer. And she wanted them to get prayer too. Well, this is just day what? 3 or 4 of class. They got a whole semester left, and Justin has already stated who he is. And it's not him, it's Christ in him. What's it doing? It's causing a favor to happen. So now he's begun to influence the class. See, it's never about us. It's not about us having a platform or us being seen. It's about promoting Christ, promoting the gospel. All that did was give him a platform to show Christ. A platform to these students that may never hear Christ in any other situation, but now all of a sudden they are. Now all of a sudden they're looking at this guy going, this guy is like different, but he's bold, and I like it. I'm going to watch him for a little while, and then I might go ask him about it myself. But it takes a boldness. It takes a stepping out. So a favor. Favor doesn't play fair. Well, that's not fair. How come she got it? Because of favor. So know that you walk with the favor of God. Number three. The fruits of the Spirit. When the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life, when we're operating, this is another result, another evidence of the mark of grace on our life. When these things are operating and coming out of our life, it's a mark that there's been a change. There's a mark. I mean, some people be like, you know, I was an angry person before. I was this kind of a person before, but now I love Jesus, and now I love that person that has been so mean to me, where before I wanted to punch him in the face, and now I want to pray for him. A transformation. Something happens on the inside, and the fruits of the Spirit begin to come out. The grace of God. If you remember last week when I talked about if we need patience, if we need love, if we need joy, know that we receive it from the throne of grace. We pick it up and go, you know what? It's not in my own strength, but I'm carrying it out under the grace of God. I'm carrying it out because God's grace has given it to me at the throne room. I have it available to me. In fact, it's in me. The kingdom of God is in me. So all I have to do is walk it out. Believing and knowing it's there, I just tap into it through faith. And as I go, I choose joy. I choose peace. I choose patience. I choose love. I choose self-control. All of these things, the fruits of the Spirit, is an evidence of grace in our life. In fact, in Psalms 45:7, God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Joy sets us above our companions. Joy sets you above your coworkers. Joy sets you above everybody else that you're around, because you're not complying to the laws of the earth. You're tapping into a supernatural thing. Joy is something that's not based on your situation. Joy is something that's not based upon, you know, well, I received a gift today, so I'm joyful. No, it's based upon what's on the inside of you, the knowing of Christ in your life, that you have joy because you have Christ. You have joy because you know your security in him. You have joy because you know your eternity is in him. You have joy because you know you have deliverance. You have safety. You have all of these things. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. So when you tap into the things of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, against such there is no law. That means when we walk in the Spirit, there's no law. We're not under the law. We're under what? Grace. That's why there's no law with the fruits of the Spirit. There's no end to it. There's no cap out. We can walk in the Spirit and abound in the grace of God. Where there is sin, grace abounds even more. Not to cover the sin, because grace goes further than sin. Grace abounds more. That means there's more grace than there is sin. So there's always going to be enough grace for you to overcome. There's always going to be enough grace to empower you. Number four, freedom. Freedom. Turn to Galatians 5. Y'all still with me? Galatians 5:1. I was like, that's not it. I was in Ephesians. I thought maybe it was my version there for a minute, and I was like,
Can you put a different version up?
All right, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Christ wants us free. God wants us free, not entangled with a yoke of bondage. When one of the evidences of grace operating in our life is when we walk in freedom. And I don't mean just freedom like, you know, yes, there's a physical freedom, but I'm not talking about a physical freedom only. I'm talking about spiritual freedom. I'm talking about emotional freedom, like your whole body, soul, and spirit are free. Some people only get the concept that, well, you know, I'm spiritually free because Christ has saved me, but they're still in emotional and physical bondage. They've not yet understood that they don't have to be in bondage to depression, anxiety, fear. That they don't have to be in bondage emotionally to past traumas and hurts. And they haven't tapped into the revelation that Christ has given us freedom in these areas. That no matter what anybody else says, Christ has given you freedom. It doesn't matter who comes against you on this earth. Greater is he that's with you than he that's in the world. So it's Christ in you. He says, don't go back into a bondage. Don't allow others to pull you back in bondage by their labels, by even what doctors would label you as having. You don't have to go back into a bondage. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. If you're in bondage to people's opinions, to people's approval, like if you're responding out of just trying to get the approval of people, that's a type of bondage. But when you come out of that and you're no longer responding by approval basis, and you actually have a freedom in knowing, like, it doesn't matter what they think, I know who I am in Christ. I'm not meaning like, well, I don't care what anybody says about me. Like, I'm not talking about attitude. I'm talking about, like, there's a true freedom. You're free to love despite how the other person responds to you. Because your love for them is not based upon what they give you. Your love for them is based upon what Christ did for you, and therefore it's flowing out of the overflow because you know that Christ wants to do a work in them too. So you're seeing past all the hurt that they're responding with, and you're loving them to pull them into Christ. You're free to give. Because you know that your economy is not based in this world system. Your economy is based on God's system. You're free to dance. You're free to love. You're free to be you. The person, you're free from comparison. So when you walk in freedom, you're actually walking in the result of the grace of God in your life. So that's an awesome thing. If you are under any kind of torment or fear, then begin to really focus in on that area and say, God has given me the grace to come out of this. God has given me whatever it is that I need to base my casting down every thought, every vain imagination that would try to rise up again against the knowledge of Christ. Everything has to do with wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. Grace comes by our knowledge of him and his word. The more we learn of him, the greater graces we'll walk in. So that was number 4, freedom. Number 5, another area that show a result in our life is our giftings. Our giftings. Now this can be personal giftings in our life, or it can also mean spiritual giftings. It could be the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in our life. It can also be the giftings that God has given to each one of us personally. Someone might be gifted in a certain area. They may just be like Angela. She's great with people. She just is able to any newcomer she comes in. And by the time I get to them, they've already touched base with Angela. Like, Angela's already given them a connect card. She's already found out what their name is and where they're from and just little things about them before I even get to them. She's a connector. She's a people person. She has a gifting. Well, some other person might have a gifting with hands-on mechanics, Another person might have giftings in their life. And the more that you begin to value the giftings that God has given you, the more it will cause that gift to make room for you. Same thing with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, can also flow through you, and that gift will make room for you. So the gifts that God has given you can make room for you and cause increase or advancement in your life. Let's turn to Romans 12:6. You can also write down 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read Romans 12:6. Yes, 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Amanda, can you throw that up real quick first? The 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. I'll just read it from the screen. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So we see there's different graces. Even in the Old Testament, when God told Moses to begin to build the tabernacle and all the furnishings of the tabernacle, he gave specific instructions, and he says, have Oholiab and his cousin, whoever it was, and they're going to be the craftsmen. They have this special gifting to create and to do craftings for the furnishing of the temple of God or the tabernacle of God. And so God had gave them a special gift, a special craftsman ability to be able to do what God needed done. Well, God has given you gifts to do what? And was that a spiritual gift? That was actually a physical gift. They had the mind, and it says they had the wisdom to be able to carry it out and the physical ability to be able to carry it out. So we're not just talking about things of the Spirit, even though it comes from the Spirit. These things will manifest in the physical. They will manifest sometimes as natural gifts. In fact, we're going to be going over that in Discover Track today. But these natural gifts are ways that we serve the Lord. So in Romans 12:6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there's gifts that differ, it says. They're different gifts. We don't all look the same. We're not all cookie cutter. We don't all have the same giftings. But it says there's differing gifts. And then it goes on and it says, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to what? Our faith. In proportion to our faith. So God's not asking us to live out of our, like at someone else's level. Like if someone has been in ministry or been at their craft for 30 years and you're just starting out, they're not saying that you need to operate at the same level that they do. You can get there. Like, just continue to believe in an increase in advancement every year. But don't compare yourself. Start where you're at. What do you have the faith for now? And increase it. And then increase it in wisdom and in the grace. Always be looking at how can I increase my gifting? Many people think that the anointing or this grace is just supposed to come. Well, I'm gifted to sing, I'm gifted to play, I'm gifted to teach, to do this, I'm gifted with people. And then they don't think that they need to do anything else. And they never increase in the gift. But it takes practice. It takes you actually putting forth time to think and effort into learning and studying and putting yourself under the teaching of it. It's not just, well, the grace of God just comes on me and then I don't have to put forth any more effort. What did Paul say? I labor more than y'all. Paul was Southern. I labor more than y'all. And then it goes on and it says, according to your faith or If it's ministry, if your gift is ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So they're saying there's different giftings. Use it in proportion to your faith and grow it. And grow it. Use it for the glory of God. But it's evident to people. Many times people say, well, how do you do that? You have such a gift for that. I couldn't ever do that. How do you have the patience for that? How do you have the you know, people just say, oh, you're just graced with this gift. Or you're just, oh, I couldn't imagine ever doing that. Sometimes those are clues to, because we don't think anything of it sometimes. We're like, you know. I've just always done this. It's always just come natural. And many times we don't realize it's a grace. It's a gift from God. And God's asking us to be good stewards of that grace. Like, I mean, Laren, he knows cars. Like, you're 13. And he knows it like nothing. Zane talked to me the other day and said, well, what kind of car did so-and-so buy? Oh, I think it was Brian Eric. I'm like, I can't remember what it's called. It's a white one. That's me with cars. It was a white one. I couldn't even remember the type of make of the car. It was a white one. And Zane just laughs at me. That's me with vehicles. But some people have a passion for it, and they can just rip things off and know all the parts and know the year and know all the mechanical issues. Zane will sit there and go, yeah, from 14 to 2019, this particular one has issues with XYZ. So you don't want to get one with that. And I'm just like, how do you store this in your brain? Like, just extra information about every make and model. But it's a gift, and it comes sometimes from a passion, from a desire, a love in that area. So your giftings, Spirit-empowered operation of grace. Giftings. The last one is a transformative power. Praise God, a transformative power. And that means that God is doing something on the inside of you and transforms you from what you used to be into something else. That the grace of God comes on you and you believe in his word and what he can do in your life more than what the world says about you. Oh, you're always going to be an alcoholic. You ever hear that? I hate it when AA tells you that. Because they're giving somebody a diagnosis for the rest of their life that they'll never be free. And you can be free. Through Christ, you can be free. But if you walk around with a label of I'm always this, I'm always going to be an addict, then you'll have that mindset and you'll have that identity. You'll face life with this weak mindset of I could crash at any point. I could fall at any point. Well, how victorious do you think you're going to be with that type of a mindset? Who in their right mind, what coach sends their football team out on the field and go, you guys, chances are you're going to crash and burn at some point in this game, and you guys are just going to, you know, you're really going to fail. You're not going to throw any touchdown passes. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll have a one or two, but I'm pretty much predicting that you guys are a weak team. Don't trust in your ability or yourself. Don't think that you're going to be able to do this because you're not. Like, how encouraged is the team going to feel? I mean, the guys went to the game yesterday. They're not even playing the game. And you got Greg and Steven and Brother Don and Pastor Brad, and they're going out the door going, yeah, WVU, Mountaineers. And I'm like, they're not even playing the game. But they're hyping themselves up. And it's like they weren't going, oh, this game is just going to stink. I don't even know why we're going, but let's go and just try to have a good time today, guys. After they lost. But you get what I'm saying. Like, There's a let's pump this up. Let's go out with the right mindset. Let's go out into the field with the understanding that we have practiced for this. We have put in the training for this. We have read the word. That's how we should be. We have read the word and we know what God's inheritance for us is. The difference is God's promises are yes and amen for his children. They're true. They're not going to fail. So we can rest in the promises. It's not a football game. This has to do with a spiritual dose, a spiritual vaccination, a spiritual shot of faith that we can increase and that we can move forward in the promises of God. Minister, can you come to the keyboard? Transformative power. Transformative power. You're no longer the person that you used to be. That God has set you free. That you can walk in a freedom. No matter what the world says. No matter that they say you're always going to. And again, that's why, that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why I did not want to put our children in the public school system, because Zane was our firstborn and he was a hyper excitable child. He was like a golden retriever puppy. That's what it was like. It was just like, like anybody that came into our house, I mean, it was just like, hi, are you gonna stay? Are you gonna be here for a while? I'm so excited that you're here. And I mean, that's how it was until he was like 16 or something. I mean, it lasted for quite a while. Yeah, when he and Hailama got married, I'm like, okay, Hailama, he's yours. I did the best I could do. But I didn't ever want him diagnosed because I knew what would happen. That they would label him, they would try to diagnose him, they would try to get him a medication. He would try to be shoved into this cookie cutter system of learning that you can only learn in this manner, in this way. But I knew that his potential was a lot more, and that would probably, in that type of environment, it would probably crush and make him feel stupid because he couldn't learn in the way that everybody else or the system wanted him to learn in. And that label or that being thrown at you for 12, 15 years can really mess with a person's mindset of who they are and what they can accomplish. And so there are things that you might need to like break off. Like the world doesn't determine my freedom. The world doesn't determine my limits. The grace of God does. It's God's grace and my faith in his grace and what he has done and what's been made available for me. That's what determines my limits. No doctor determines my health. No friend determines my identity. No world determines how far I can go. It's the grace of God. If his word says it, I can have it. All I have to do is respond in faith. Go ahead and stand to your feet.